My apologies for the late start. I need a few more minutes to get this figured out.
Do you want to test? Somebody talk. That'd be awesome.
Hello.
Can you all hear that out here?
I can hear.
Okay. All right. I think this will work. So I'm going to mute you all for the moment, and then Miss Vicki Nicewander can start the meeting. Sorry for the delay.
All right. Okay. So we're ready to go?
Actually,
all you have to do is... Thank you for your patience. I think we'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. And we will start with the roll call. And Stephanie is remote, but we're going to give it a whirl anyway.
Hey, Stephanie, can you hear us now and do the roll call? We have someone in the room who can do the roll call. Stephanie is not able to hear us right now, so we'll, Kim, if you'll do the roll call.
Leah Taylor. Ann Robin.
Here.
Kim Fisher. Georgiana Schuster.
Here.
Susan Fowler.
Here.
Vicki Nicewander.
Here. Okay, the next thing on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. I need a motion. Thank you. And a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. And are there any changes, proposed changes, comments, discussion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to the next.
Who seconded
that? I'm sorry.
That was,
yeah, Georgiana.
And
the next thing on is the timeline, the acronyms and glossary. I don't think we need to do anything there. Citizen input would be the next thing, if anybody's interested in speaking to the board. I see no movement over there. So,
okay, so I need to stay unmuted so that you can hear us. All right. Is there anybody on the Zoom who would like to give public input? Can anybody on the Zoom hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. So we'll consider that.
We'll consider that a no.
Okay.
Okay, very good. Am
I
still
in?
Thank you. Oh, good, good. So hopefully you all have signed in at the physical sign-in sheet. Yay. And everybody on the Zoom, sign in the chat. Thank you. Okay.
And the next thing on the agenda are my comments. I don't have many, but I just want to, again, thank the self-advocates who spoke to the combined boards last month. I thought it was a fabulous conversation. I would like to have that continue in some manner. I don't know what that will look like, you know, whether an advisory panel or a member of the board that does have a developmental disability. I think any of those options would work. But I think it's important for us to really listen to people. And we had the opportunity to do that last month. I'd like to see that happen more often. And that's all I have. Lynn.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I sent a follow-up email to the self-advocates, and they are so busy. Some of them are very, very busy with presentations to other community groups that they won't be able to get back to us quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's a start. That's a good start.
That's awesome as well.
Yeah. So and just to say, welcome Dr. Susan Fowler to the Developmental Disabilities Board. I could yield my time if you would like to do some, introduce yourself.
Sure. I'd be happy to. So I am very pleased to be asked to serve on the DD board. I'm somewhat familiar with the DD board because I've attended some past meetings, and for 8 years I served on the mental health board. And as part of the mental health board, we occasionally had joint meetings, and I sometimes would go to the morning meeting and the evening meeting, not on a regular basis, but sometimes. And I had actually many years ago originally applied to the DD board for membership and was asked instead to be on the mental health board, which I was quite pleased to do. But my heart is probably with developmental disability issues as well as mental health issues. I have an adult son who receives services through this community, and he is now living semi-independently in his own apartment. He's almost 31. You know, there are ups and downs, but thank goodness for the services we have, because he's really doing so well that I can't complain. And I also served as a former dean of the College of Education before I retired, and as head of the special ed department. I have a doctorate in developmental and child psych, and I focused primarily from the point of my doctorate, or earlier, since the early 70s, actually, on children with special needs. So I focus on families and younger children in terms of my scholarly work. But thanks to my son, I've learned a lot about those older years as well, and the critical importance of transition, independent living supports, and the whole concept of friendship and quality of living, because that is a tough one. So I'm pleased to be here, and I hope I have a quick learning curve. I was so impressed with the Purple Notebook and the degree of detail, which is more than what we used to have. And so I just want to say kudos to the staff, because all these outcomes are extremely helpful for evaluating what is going on. Thank you.
Very exciting to have you here, Susan. I'm glad you are a member of us now. This is great. Moving on to the approval of minutes, page 17 to 22. I'll need a motion to approve. So, thank you, Anne.
And I will second.
Thank you, Georgiana.
I will second. Georgiana.
Georgiana seconded, yes.
Paying attention.
Any concerns, comments, changes? Hearing nothing, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Okay. Let's see, where am I? Vendor invoice list, page 23 is where it starts. We'll need a motion to approve that.
Moved.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
All right, thank you. Any concerns, questions, comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. Moving right along here.
No,
it's already spent. It's gone. Okay. Staff reports.
It's also, actually, more importantly, you already decided to spend it. The decision that had to have a roll call already happened.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Okay. All right. Do we need to do anything with staff reports other than if people have questions? There's no vote on that, obviously. Any comments or questions on the staff reports? All right, then we'll move on to new business. The allocation priorities and decision support criteria, which starts on page 47 of your packet. And again, does anybody want to address this? We're not taking a vote on it, correct?
No, we can. I'm putting stuff up on the screen too.
We can. We've actually sent this out to lots and lots of people by email, including our justice partners, who don't usually look at the DD stuff, mm-hmm. but they should. So, and we've actually already started getting some comments. Nothing about change something substantially, but, you know, people are pointing to the things that are important to them. So you all can do the same. You can mm-hmm. contact us. Email is best so that we can track it, so that we don't forget anything.
Mm-hmm.
But you can contact Kim or me or both with any comments or concerns about this. Even if it's a typo, we want to get things right, so conceptually and grammatically.
And this is going to be decided.
We will bring you a final draft in November, so that gives folks a little bit of time to process and react to it. You might have comments today. That's okay too. You just don't have to make a decision about it right
all
now.
All right. Does anyone have comments today? Susan?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say that the 2025 priorities just seem to make a great deal of sense to me and align with what I would want to see. So I'm, you know, if they change, they change, but I think that they're really on target for our specific community. But I also had a question, and that is the fact that we're once again going through the ISC system and through a competitive notice of funding opportunities. And I've just heard a lot of grumbling in the community about that. And I know that it's not under our purview, but do we have any influence with the state? And is that still proceeding? And open question, really.
Well, I think if that is of concern to people locally, then writing letters or joining into the other efforts. There are letter campaigns already happening. I think we hear about those mostly from Ed McManus. I'm not sure if other associations are officially taking a position on this. A lot of the concerns are the same as the last time, which is this is disruptive. These relationships are actually important to us, and it's disruptive. But also, adding on to it, that there were significant problems identified by the auditor. Was it the auditor general of the state of Illinois with how it was run last time? Our own ISC got a larger contract, so we were happy with. Thank you so much, James. We were really happy with the outcome, but a lot of the when the auditor general looked into it, they found that. Oh, thank you. Oh, so he got logged in. That's good. Okay. There were real problems with the way the state conducted it and then evaluated the applications. So it wasn't clear what they were using as a basis for decision. And so that's the – so add to concerns about relationships and providers, now distrust of the state's process. So if you're interested in that as a singular advocacy project or a group advocacy project, we could join others. Kim's gone. I'm not aware of what the ARC may be saying or Equip for Equality or Going Home organizations that we're trying to partner more closely with. But I mean, you're right. People are not happy with it. So anyway, we have some public input. Someone from the public would like to speak, but you would have to allow that.
Of course.
Okay.
So shall we do that right now?
If you allow it.
Okay, yeah. So we're going to have a little bit of public input. We'll take care of that right now.
Hi there, Patty Walters. Whoa, those that could have been really bad. The chair kept going. And Now, beyond the entertainment piece of that, I just wanted to share that I am a member of the DD agency or the DD advisory committee for the state, and this is an item that's on the agenda every time, and we had a meeting yesterday, and it's under review as to whether or not it's necessary. So before you put a lot of energy in it, I mean, I can forward some information or Danielle can update or something, but they are actually reviewing, because of it's a Medicaid service, whether it's actually mandated that they go through with the NOFO again. So it's on hold right now, and hoping that they won't even have to do it at all, but the jury's still out on that. So just thought that was worth sharing because we share the same concerns. So
thanks, Patty.
So, Vicky, may I speak again? This is board discussion, so you have to decide.
Okay.
Okay. So that is good news that it might not actually happen. But then I think we might want to take on a different advocacy point, which is that the Medicaid waiver rates, or the rates associated with the ISC contract and the wages associated with the ISC contracts are also a problem, and they are not, that is a problem that is not addressed by the DSP wage increases. In fact, it creates a sort of an imbalance. And so there is, like with so many other sectors of the workforce, there is a real problem with retaining, with attracting and retaining staff to those positions in this community and in others where you have to pay to live somewhere, which may be the whole state, I think. So there's a potential advocacy issue there. Anyway, and I think the state does have the intention of doing another rates review. I don't know why, if they don't use the ones they've already had, but...
Well, I think that we have been in the bottom of the pack for so long, being, what, 48th out of 50 states, mm-hmm. that we're getting used to that. And we just, as a state, do not put enough money into support of people with disabilities of any kind. It's just very sad. All right. Anything else on, where were we? We were on allocation priorities and decision support criteria. I think everything's been expressed. And now we have more. The special initiatives fund allocation priorities. Again, no action on this. Any comments?
This was the first one that we worked on. So that we kind of worked on them in sequence. So there's a little bit of overlap in content, and in the we really liked the self-advocacy input and tried to use it in all three decision or briefing memos on priorities. But in this one, I just want to say that it is possible that just like this year, no one will actually take advantage of this. No one might want to apply to do any of these projects that are proposed. And if that happens again, then I think we're going to have to really get into RFPs. And that might still also not, you know, this is a staffing capacity issue, even for these kind of special projects. So this may not work again, but we made some significant changes in the priority categories so that it could be more distinct from the DDB, you know, so the DDB would tend to hold more long-term projects, mm-hmm. projects that intend to continue or that people like and rely on, and this could be special efforts. So we'll see what happens. I just want to be realistic. It all depends on whether people can do the work.
And it's worth hanging on to because something good may come from it, and if it doesn't, then we can make changes down the road, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I make one more?
Sure.
Okay. So then there's a thing that happened at our meeting with the self-advocates that they also put in writing that is mentioned in all three of these priority memos. You only have two of them, but there's another one. That has also come up in community needs assessment, and it is coming to my ear from some providers that this is about Champaign County not being a very welcoming and inclusive county, and I'm hearing that that is also one of the problems with attracting staff here. We have a university that's cranking out highly qualified people all the time, but they don't stay here. And there is, you know, some folks are saying, well, we can lay that also at the feet of, you know, sort of what there is to do in Champaign County and how it feels to be sort of an outsider here. So that's deep work. I don't know that the DDB can fix that, mm-hmm. but I think it's important for us to hear the self-advocates and keep saying that. So anyway.
Okay. All right. We're up to number 11C, allocation charts. Again, this is for information only. Any comments or questions on that?
It was a lot more fun to put together the chart, the pie charts, than I expected it would be.
It was really, you know, putting it in a different format really was helpful to me. Made it much more understandable. So
okay,
it was worth it.
It has meaning to you as well.
Okay, old business. We have revised budgets, and we do need to have action on this. I don't know, Chris, if you have any information you'd like to share before we ask questions, but up to you.
Well, do you want me to do it? So So Chris is the voice of reason.
Mm-hmm.
As the what we're experiencing is the some of the financial professionals at the county level have worked very hard to change the expense categories to truly match accepted principles. And so we are going along with them, even though it means sometimes midstream changes of category. A lot of categories are open to interpretation. So when the auditor's office says, we don't like where you're trying to charge that, we listen to them. So mm-hmm. that is one reason for a lot of the changes that you see here are just simply interpretations of categories toward a goal that I think we all share, that you know we want our work to meet standards. Another goal that the county has that may not be as important to us is they want comparability across all budgets so that they can do like pull out information on what type of spending the whole county does. And we are a little bit of a bug in that because we spend money in very different ways. So much of our money is going out to contracts with agencies under the contributions and grants lines. So that kind of warps the situation for the whole county. So you will see, so there's a two-page decision memo, and then there's the charts I've been putting together for the last few years with a lot of emergency help from Chris, like, you know, whenever I need it, no matter what he's working on. And then the last attachment is the county's budget documents. And in those, I'm trying to be as clear as I can about some of those things that we do that are peculiar to the county so that, you know, because these are published with the whole county budget. I think many more people from the public look at these documents. So if there are things that I know might be confusing, I've added those to these narratives. I'll try to show So the one I'm scrolling past, I can't access that computer either.
I don't know what's wrong with it. I have
to just do it. Apologies for the screen. This is part of what we've been working on today. So the thing that's scrolling behind that is the traditional format that we've been using to show you budget versus history. And then here's the format that the county started using last year, which some board members really loved. So I was like, I'm always going to show it then. But the content, the narrative content is a little bit different. It is a little bit more focused on people who might be outsiders to this work. So they might, you know, need a little bit more context that you all can take for granted. So anyway, and I do think it's a nice looking format. Anyway, there you go.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
May I make a comment on our budget?
Absolutely.
I'm kind of a numbers person, which most people here know, but I looked at our contributions and grants as a percentage of total revenue, and it is way up there. So we're doing well in terms of how we spend our money, what we use for overhead and versus what we give for grants and contributions. So I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah.
You had said that at a meeting earlier this year, and so that's in the narratives.
Is it in here?
Good. I heard you, Jordan, and I put it right in there.
Good.
It's good to recognize that.
Though. It was actually in the highlights documents that we created for the county board to see. So I'm not sure I put it in here, but I did put it in the highlights. So thanks, Virgin.
Susan, did you have a question?
Yeah, just a comment. I always wondered how we were aligning with the county board goals. So just being able to see the alignment of the strategic plans is really helpful because
mm-hmm.
I always felt like we were operating under a different radar system, but now it's clear how we align. So compliments on that too. And to maybe the county board for being clear.
Okay, so any other comments or questions for that? Because we need to take
one more question. Is this the final budget, or will there be more revisions?
There could be more revisions. We hope it's the final because after this point, if you approve and the mental health board, you each have authority over your own budget, and then you have shared authority over the third one, the special initiatives fund. So if those are all approved today, then the things the county needs to do with them next are, like, we're on track with the county. So they, because it's all put on file together and then it's all approved in November. But there are things that could happen that would change this budget, and we would bring those back to you.
Yeah. So would any changes happen between now and November? Is that when the final budget is approved?
If it happened between now and November, it would pertain to this year's budget. So, no?
No. I mean, things change all the time. So there are. Well, this might be. Do you want to talk? Are you?
He just.
It's like categories are being flexible all the time, right?
Right. Off the top of my head, I mean, the main thing that would possibly change would be some of the benefits, health insurance, things like that. Those rates could change between now and November
for next year.
And then there are other things that may happen in 2024, but I hope they don't, and I hope they happen in 2025. Everybody's moving out of this building, but not us. And maybe there are other units that are staying here, but it's not clear to me. And so the fate of this building is somewhat a question. And if we need to move somewhere else, you know, we're going to have some big conversations about that. It could cost more than what we pay here. I would still hope that our best arrangement would almost always be to rent from the county. There are lots of extra rules around renting from a private organization. I don't know if we have enough meetings scheduled to plan for that. So anyway, but it might not happen. So I'm hoping it doesn't happen in 2024.
Do we have a motion and a second on the table for this? We don't. Okay. All right. Let's have a motion for this. And once more, thank you.
I move to approve the attached revised draft 2024 CCDDB budget with anticipated revenues of $5,245,817 and expenditures of the same.
All right, thank you.
And I will second that motion.
Thank you, Georgiana. And all in favor say aye.
Roll
call, that's right. Okay.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Georgiana Schuster?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Vicki Nyswander?
Yes. Motion is carried. All right.
I have to apologize. There are no changes to the IDD Special Initiatives Fund budget for 2024. I forgot that one, that there was nothing that we needed to change on that one. Sorry. Okay.
So do we need another vote on that? No. Okay. Evaluation Capacity Building Project. Do we have a representative from UIUC here? Or is this person online? Okay.
Here to provide these updates. We really appreciate that. So the current progress is we're preparing to conduct a group level assessment with the agency staff who are involved in the evaluation work. So we're beginning the process of scheduling the GLAs or the group level assessments, and we anticipate it will likely occur in mid-October. And just give you an overview of the GLA. So we're going to send a short survey to inform the GLA that we'll host. And it's going to be designed to collect and analyze feedback from both mental health and developmental disability agency staff. And we'll look at, like, the needs, some of the successes, challenges related to evaluation, collecting data, and reporting. So we anticipate the agency staff will generate ideas, analyze them, and develop action plans that are relevant and meaningful to them. And then we're playing around with the idea of, for those who can't attend the GLA, we may distribute a needs assessment survey, but we'll see. And then Stephanie, who's on the call, has also been reviewing the report summaries and starting to identify possible outcome measures to help guide future technical assistance efforts. And what we envision as the next steps here are to use the needs assessment data from the interviews, some of the summary reviews, and the GLA to guide the future trainings and recommendations for agencies and boards. So that is our update. I don't know if Stephanie has anything else to add, or I know she's been working really hard on doing the report summaries and things.
That sounds great.
Any questions or comments from the board? Susan?
Someone might have said at the beginning, and I missed it, what does DLA stand for?
GLA.
Yeah, it stands for group level assessment.
Where we bring in people like the agency staff, you know, to, you know, bring up the things that are important to them to address, like challenges that they've experienced. And then we all kind of work together as a team to analyze some of the thought process that we're coming up with, and then develop like a strategic action plan. So we're hoping to do that in person because that tends to work the best for GLAs. So
it's a meeting.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
That's the simple
to
way
simplify.
To put it down. I should have made that clear. Sorry about that.
Susan, did you have a comment?
Same question.
Okay, very good. Thank you for your report. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Expo update. You've got material in your packet. It's coming up really, really soon, the end of October.
It's terrible. Sorry, one of my PDFs looks terrible.
October 28th is the date, 11 to 4 p.m. at Marketplace Mall. I think last year went really, really well there.
It did.
The mall was thrilled, I think, to have us there because they had a bigger crowd than I've ever seen at the mall in probably two decades.
They were so nice to us.
Yeah.
It was great.
But I know they're still looking for volunteers, so if you know anybody who is free that day, be sure and point them that direction.
And we put the sponsorship brochure in here because we're also still seeking sponsors.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
I think there are a lot more resource fair type activities this year, and that's great. I think that kind of reinforces that this is one way people like to network and learn about resources, but it means we're sort of competing for sponsors now. Mm-hmm. We have fewer of the big sponsors than we used to have. I don't think it's belt tightening. I think it's just this small business community, and they're all stretched to support everything. So so we could still use more sponsors.
All right. Okay, the next item is program service reports, and this is for information only. Does anybody have any comments or questions on this part? Okay, moving on to claims data, program claims data. Again, full year service claims, and it's for information only. Not that we're ignoring this, it's just so well done that, you know, there really isn't a question related to it. So thank you to the staff for putting all of that information together. It's really helpful. Quarterly update for Champaign County, again, an information only. There is data in the packet by the PATH, and that's from April 1st to June 30th. Any comments or questions on that? All right, successes and other agency information. Anybody have information to share online or in person?
Just to let you know, Becca Obachowski and Mel Long have their hands raised.
Okay. Thank you for that. We have Patty Walters at the desk right now. We'll get to them in a minute.
Okay.
Thank you. Two things. Okay. I wanted to mention, just kind of in line with the workforce retention grant that is funded by CCDDB, that we just had two mid-level staff attend the National Alliance for Direct Support Professionals national training last week, maybe a week and a half ago. Loved it. We're looking forward to invite them to one of our clinical meetings so that they can share information. All the PowerPoints were shared. They really enjoyed being a part of something bigger. And it was in Pittsburgh this time, so this is the first time that we've sent anybody since we've joined the Alliance, and so I think that that'll be an ongoing commitment. And then there's also frontline supervisor training that is hosted through the Illinois Association of Rehab Facilities. That's a state association here that we're members of, and they've contracted with NADSP also to host those frontline supervisor trainings. Last fiscal year, all of our mid-managers attended one of those sessions. I will say that the workforce retention grant is working, and we only have one new manager that needs to attend the frontline supervisor training that's coming up because there's just been that one position that has turned over at that level. And then there's a frontline supervisor training two, kind of an expansion on that we've got three people going to next month. So that investment at the mid-level, you know, the mid-manager level is one of the things that they really talk about, staff retention and reason for some of the turnover is kind of those relationships and whether it's coaching and mentoring or, you know, the nature of that. So investing in that training, I think, has been really beneficial to our staff and trying to spread that wealth across the agency. You know, what are we getting for the value of sending a few people and bringing that information back in? So that's going really well. And then the second thing that I wanted to do is introduce to you, and I mean, I'm going to share the sad news first, and I don't know if you've heard it or not, but Vicki Tolf is the Director of Program Assurance for DSC. She joined us in May of 2000, and she will be retiring at the end of December.
Yeah.
I think that probably affects staff much more than the board, and Kim Bowdry has a great working relationship with Vicki, and she's a point person for a lot of the data and the service reporting and grants. She and I work really closely on the grants. We have hired somebody very qualified to take her place, and she is here with us, so I wanted to introduce Kelly Martin as the new Director of Program Assurance. And she will start working side by side with Vicki locked in a room from October to the end of December. And Vicki has promised that she will answer the phone and take phone calls and continue to help us. So that's going to be a tough transition. We've really appreciated everything that Vicki has done for us. And I'm sure that me saying this is the reason that Vicki isn't here today. So just wanted to share that Kelly will be at meetings moving forward, and starting October 1st, she will be working alongside Vicki, and we're excited to have her. Kelly's been with us for a long time. She literally is someone that started as a DSP and has been with us for 23 years as a certified occupational therapy assistant. Which also means that she is Q eligible under the state definition for case management. She has been in our community day services, our residential services. She was the training coordinator, and she's our OAG liaison for the Department of Human Services. So if there's acronyms that that you have questions about, let me know. It's alphabet soup. But anyway, we're grateful that Kelly is stepping into that role, and just wanted to make the introduction. So thank you.
Thank you, and I hope you're going to have a big party for Vicki. She's done a lot.
Yeah, but don't tell her because I don't think she'll.
Shh. No, nothing is going to come from me. Okay. Anybody else? Oh, you got Mel, who would like to make a comment on Zoom.
Good okay. morning, everybody. I think Becca was first. Becca, do you want to go first since you had your hand raised first?
Oh, go ahead. You're fine.
Okay, good. Okay, thank you. So, good morning, everybody. This is Mel Young. I'm from Pace and stuff. I just want to share since I think we missed the last month. I missed you guys all. And so I wanted to share something about what's going on with our personal support worker program here at Pace. I have a couple of exciting news. During the time that we didn't meet and stuff, Department of Rehabilitation Services, DRS, the VR program has reached out to me because they had a referral for a consumer with IDDD and stuff. And this referral was pretty exciting because it landed on my lap like a week and a half or a week or so before the consumers started college at Heartland and stuff. So we were kind of like working, collaborating with DRS. It was a kind of like a really quick turnaround and stuff. So I worked directly with the family hand in hand several times and stuff. So we start searching for PSWs. And it was so wonderful news that within a week, the consumer was starting interview and know that she is starting school in a week and a half. That was also exciting and stuff. But she needed a PSW to support her in school. So they looked through our registry at PACE that is funded by the CCDDB, and they were able to find someone to help her full time to help her to school. And then they also found another one that they were negotiating for a backup just in case that main one get sick. They have someone right in line to be a backup for that person. So they just didn't find this one person. They found two that they were a great candidate, and I'm glad. Actually, I have great news that she is doing very well at school because of that support and stuff. So that was the great news that she is transitioning to college with our registry that they found PSWs. And then I also had someone that reached out to me. Since the last time we had a meeting and stuff, the employer was out of town, so and they were looking for PSWs. So we start searching the registry again, and that consumer was able to find a PSW that they hired. But they struggled because the employer was out of town and needed support with the access paperwork. So we at PACE here, I assisted the family. They continue to coordinate with me, and then they send the PSW to PACE so that I could assist on completing that paperwork to make sure it gets completed properly and reviewed and be able to be sent out to that employer to do their part. And I'm happy to share with you guys that that person is getting processed by Access to be connected with that consumer. So we had a few updates with our registry and a connection about PSW here at PACE.
Thank you, Mel. That was very interesting and helpful. I think that having this as a resource for families is so critical that I'm going to start pointing people your way when they come to me saying, how do you hire personal support workers? This is a good way. All right, Becca.
Yes, hello. I'm sorry I'm missing you all in person today. I did want to share just a couple updates. So for one, with our new transportation program, I'm very happy to announce that we were finally able to hire a coordinator after sort of a last-minute change in direction. And her name's Marella McMurray, and she's been in the nonprofit field in the community for a really long time, and we're really thrilled to have her. She started right at the beginning of September and is just off to the races, getting everything set up for people. So that has been going really well. We're still kind of, you know, figuring out a few little systems here and there, but people really seem to be using and benefiting from the system so far. The other thing I wanted to announce, and you all maybe have seen this before, for the last, probably like a year and a half, Hannah and I and a group of parents and self-advocates, community members, as well as a professor in the College of Education Special Ed Department, Dr. Emily Tarkanish, have been working in collaboration with Experience You to develop a like an accessibility, I don't know, not guide exactly, but to provide sort of like an accessibility like assessment of local businesses that can go on their website. And so I don't know if you guys have played much with their website, but it includes, I think, pretty much every business in Champaign County. And so now we developed this very long survey that people do at the business to sort of look at many different aspects of accessibility, sort of beyond just physical accessibility, although that is absolutely a part of it, but looking at kind of like sensory accessibility and cognitive accessibility. And then, so you'll be able to see the full survey on their website for those businesses that have kind of gone through the assessment so far, as well as sort of like some, you know, like tags, we've been calling them, to essentially give you like a really quick, you know, look at like what are some of the highlights of this building or this business's sort of accessibility, as well as where some of the barriers to accessibility might be. And so that it went live middle of August, I believe, and it's we're really excited. We've continued to sort of work with Dr. Tarkanish and some of her students in the special ed department to continue to do those surveys and to update them. So hopefully the project can have some sustainability. So we're really excited about that. It was a really wonderful, I felt like, collaboration between, you know, some of the people that we work with on a daily basis, on parents, with parents, as well as with, you know, members of the community. So check it out if you haven't looked at it. I think it's just experience.cu/accessible.cu, but I'm sure you can find it directly from their main website. And that's it.
I have a question for you. Is this work built on what Megan Burke did several years ago? She had a similar project.
She did. It is different. It's a totally different assessment. We kind of started from scratch to sort of look at, you know, a lot of different aspects of accessibility. But, you know, there are some similarities too. I don't know that her site, they were, I don't know if they were able to continue to update it.
Yeah, Anne.
Yeah, you said we could find the website. Would you please put a link so that Lynn can share that with us? Thank you.
Yeah, I will do that.
Thank you. Any other public input? Yes. Successes,
have,
I guess,
I'll just
is where we are.
Quickly note a really wonderful picture of one of our members who does a lot of stuff with us. She was willing to sort of stand in as the you know, the spokesperson just to have some nice photos on their site. So I will you can check that out too when you go there.
Thank you, Becca. That was very helpful, very interesting. And so are there any other successes or agency information to share this morning?
No one else has their hand raised online.
Okay, and no one seems to be moving toward the mic here, so we may be done. All right, going on to county board input. Leah, nothing?
I don't really have anything. I just am commiserating over here about the budget process. I know, like, we set the, you know, we go through our budget hearings and then it feels like every month for like 10 months we're voting on it. And I mean, it's not really 10 months. It's like, I think we finish in October, but it is like every meeting. It's like, are we voting on this again? Okay. What's changed? Nothing's changed. Okay. Voting again. So I feel you. It's a process. That's all.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for being here. Let's see where we're at. Board input. We're almost done.
Mental health board. Oh,
I'll do it. The mental health board is meeting this evening, and I hope that we'll have a better integration of the Zoom meeting, but I feel great that folks were able to talk. I'm sorry that you might not have heard everything they said. It is captured, though. There's closed captions.
There will be a recording.
So, yes, so there's a recording. So apologies for the earlier disruption. I don't think the mental health board meeting will go like that. Their business is really similar to yours this evening, but they have maybe an additional agency request. Some of the agencies that they fund have had real difficulty completing audits on time, and our rules consequate that in ways that are really tough sometimes. Mm-hmm. So there's a request that we not cancel the contracts. That's kind of a big – so I don't know. I don't think there's any other action that's different from what you all just did.
All right, then. I think the only thing left then is input from our own board. Anybody have any comments?
I have something for you. But first, y'all have
I think no one's got a comment.
Okay.
So, yeah, feel free.
So at your joint study session, I think Dr. Fisher mentioned that the Evanston Mental Health Board had the practice of board-to-board liaisons, where a mental health board member would attend an agency board meeting and maybe, you know, a tour and stuff like that. So mental health boards in the North stopped doing that. I'm not sure when she left that mental health board or what happened to it. It seems like the city took that money and just allocates it themselves. But around the same time, they started moving away from that liaison service. Our mental health board still does that. They don't have formal liaison assignments right now because there are so many agencies that they fund that it would be impossible to hit everything. So they just kind of, they organize with Stephanie Howard Gallo, and they have a spreadsheet just as the one we've put together here that tells when, you know, their spreadsheet has all the board meeting times. This one is missing some information, but we worked on that up until the day the board packet needed to be produced, and we did not have the information yet. We also did not know if it's something y'all really would want to do. We dug up the mental health board liaison guidelines, which were never approved. They're just a draft, and we modified them for DDB use. So if this is something that you all are interested in doing, there's a chart. I'll show you the chart. It's not too many agencies. Turning it so that it shows right on the screen is pointless because there's also that. But this is the second to last page in your board packet.
Right.
So, you know, not too many agencies. You could, you know, become as involved as you'd like to. And then this draft of liaison guidelines. I'm sorry, Dr. Fisher is not available today. She had jury duty. But she may have an opinion about those guidelines, but you also might. Like, is this a structure that you like? We can work on it. It was just the first time anyone had suggested the DD board do that, and I don't know how y'all think of it, but here's a starting point for that discussion.
Yeah, I think it might be worth adding as a discussion item at our next meeting so that we can look at those guidelines and think a little bit about what that involvement might look like. Would that seem reasonable? Susan?
I think it would also be really helpful to have an update on the chart by the next meeting with the frequency of the board meetings that occur for the different agencies. When I was on the mental health board, I found myself sometimes struggling to make all of the agency board meetings for the agencies I'd signed up as liaison. And also, of course, we had more agencies, but there was some misunderstanding that needed to be clarified with a couple of the agencies about the actual role of the liaison. So I think it's great that you've got a page of responsibilities that could be shared also with the agency. I just found myself going to meetings where they would 5 minutes into the meetings, call a closed session. So I would have driven over to the meeting and then left without really having had any functional input. So, you know, not a complaint, just an observation. So ensuring that it's a good use of the board members' time. I think given that we have fewer agencies, it's much more doable than it was for the mental health board. So only comment.
That specific example that you shared has another issue behind it too, that one that we haven't totally cracked. But you know, there's sort of a long-standing conversation nationally about if you're an organization, if you're a private organization receiving public funding, how private can you be? So there are organizations that don't want their board meetings to be public, and they don't want to send minutes to us because everything we have is public. So they create a structure like that to do some things in open session in order to make that public and then keep the rest in closed session. But this is an open question. I have not talked to the state's attorney about whether there are any legal precedents since the last time I looked into it, but the tendency was if you're receiving public funding, you have some public obligations. So
Well, I have some thoughts on that too, but I'll save them for when we have this discussion on the agenda next month. So if there's nothing else, is there anything else? This meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much.
Recording stopped.